in this God. I did believe in this God. I did live in the day I was in, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact. I associated my troubles to God. I talked to him about it. I went into courtrooms, Ron with me also, under the grace of God, meaning that God was there instead of me, taking care of me many, many times. When you think they're going to kill you, when you think that, man, your stomach is so sick, you think that you're going to die, but it still doesn't happen. This is true what I'm talking. This is my life. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm talking about a way of life that's here in print. Every bit of this, what I'm talking about, comes out of these words. I'll show it to you. Ask me. Let me show you any page at all that you think in doubt. So if you think you don't know it or you don't believe it. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. That's exactly what I've been talking about all day. To try to get this message across, to deliver this message, at least to show you this message, is the main purpose of my life. I have to be here where I'm talking about. It's just got to be that way. Whether you have it be there, I don't know, but I have to be there. Because each and every day as I go, my days become better. I have things going on in my life. There's no way possible I could make it happen that way. No way, no way. Just like being here right now, same thing. There's no way I could predict this, make this happen, or anything else like that. It's out of the realm of my life. But see, these steps are very, very important. This message to me has to be delivered. I'm talking about something right now that I know for sure, that I have seen literally hundreds now, I mean this now, of all alcoholics from all walks of life, any color, any size, any shape, doesn't make no difference. And it's the same for them. That they get turned around. They go into a better world. They go into relationships. And the relationships they go into are good relationships. Even with their kids, their dogs, their cats, their wives, their uncles, their aunts, or anybody else like that. You just name it. So why not at least look at this? At least look at it and see. See if it's something that might be that you could use in your life. See if it wouldn't be something, when you find yourself out there in a world like I used to find myself, being so shook up, being so angry, hating people, places, things, just ripping the world apart in my mind. See if that isn't something that might be in your life too, like it was in mine. I don't have to live like that. I don't live like that either. But only because of what is here and what we're talking about now. This application of these steps, this way of life, is already there for each and every one of us. It's like a closed circuit. You don't even have to go outside of the 12 steps. No need to. Everything is there, completely there in the 12 steps for each and every one of us. Can you imagine how many alcoholics are on this earth from any walk of life, from any shape, size, or color? And the 12 steps still fit every one of us with alcoholism. Everyone. Without an exception. It'll treat alcoholism. Can you imagine how could a few pages with a few words, like step one, the 12 by 12, two pages, how could it take you through over 42 years in a way of life? Two pages. How could so many words still be applicable today, still be needed today? How come? Because of what they are. They're spiritual principles. And it talks about this in step 11, where I can keep going and keep growing spiritually in a way of life so that the world that I'm in is not the world of yesterday. It's a brand new world today, this day. There's so many things going on in my life today, this day. I don't want to miss none of it, and I don't miss none of it. Before, I used to be moaning and groaning, my eyes on the floor, worried about everything. Doomsday's coming. Worried all the time. Things were happening around me, I never even seen it. I wasn't a part of that world. I was in my world. I was in my misery, my pain, my yesterdays, my harms, my hurts, my memories. I have a file cabinet. I just dive in there and I stay in there, thinking about all of the stuff that went down. If I only had this and that. Step 11, I'll tell you, is a beautiful, beautiful step. And what it says is what it means. That I sought through prayer and meditation to improve something right now. When it's now, whatever now is, I'm going to improve that relationship through prayer and meditation. This is what I was talking about long down, but in 2 and 3, the qualification to have something now that I never had before. I have a power that's greater than me. That power is God. And so through prayer and meditation now to improve the relationship with God as I understood him. Understood. It's the same words and it's underlined the same way in the step as it is down in 3. In 3 says understood him, not understand him. Understood means I just come out of 2 in principle. 2 says I'm going to come to believe in a power greater than me to restore me to sanity. And what's that mean? 3 says God as I understood him. I'm going to turn my will and life over to him. And 11 says the same thing. It says, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God, praying as I understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry it out. And you know what it does? It underlies as I understood him. Same way. Understood must have some kind of a meaning behind it. It doesn't say understand, because I'm not trying to understand God and his ways or his works. I'm trying to know and understood that I must have God in my life. I must live there. I must go there. I must be there. It's understood that there's no place else to go. Where would I go? I can't go to self. Step 11 is really a good step, a step that I believe that you can still talk about it. You can keep talking about any of these steps, really, you can, in relationship to a way of life or what you do in a day you're in. But 11, I believe, is the strongest of all of them because of the fact of what 12 says. In 12, when it says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I try to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all of my affairs. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. What steps? The other 11 steps. The other 11 steps. Imagine that. I've had a spiritual awakening. Having had, it's talking in the past tense. So, the step 12 is a step that's like a review or an overview. It's like saying is that I've had something and I better recognize it. Having had a spiritual awakening, what's a spiritual awakening? I don't know if you know, it's not a spiritual experience. It was tried to be put that way one time, but awakening was much better, because an awakening is something that I need to have. An awakening is the awareness that I'm talking about. The awareness is not understanding God. It's not understanding words, understanding whatever is going on. That's not. Awareness is being able to see something with my mind I never could see before. I never could see this, what we're talking about in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was too quick to say things against it or not listen to it or not pay any attention to it or not even want to do it. And yet, though, I came here for that very same reason. I come to Alcoholics Anonymous because there was no place else to go. I came out of an alky hospital where I had been strapped down in the bed that was screwed to the floor and filled full of chemicals. And then after I got here, I monkeyed around. 2.5 years, I wouldn't even touch this message. I wouldn't even say the word God. This is important because, you see, I don't know how much of this you do or you don't do. It isn't important to me, but it must be important to you, because if you come to Alcoholics Anonymous, what did you come for? Did you have a reason to come here? I did, but I didn't know what it was. I came here and didn't know what was the matter with me. I thought I was just a falling down drunk. Hell, I hit a police cruiser head-on one time. They made a roadblock, and I never even seen them, and I went clean through the windshield. I don't know what's the matter with me. I think I just drink too much. I think maybe it's bad breaks. I come to Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah, I do. That's the way I think. My mind wants to immediately protect me. It does. My mind wants to protect me all the time, drunk or sober. Don't make no difference. I always rationalize. I always excuse my behavior. I always run. I'm always running all the time. And I found out in Alcoholics Anonymous that all these that I'm talking, they're principles. And I'll tell you this. I don't know if you know what running means, but I do. Because I used to run to meetings even. Because when I went to meetings, I felt good. I went to meetings and I listened to people that made me feel good because they talked about good things. And when they talk about good things, it makes me feel good. And then when I leave the meeting, you know what I have to do? I have to go back to the world I just left. I don't feel good in that world, because that's where the trouble is. That's where self lies. That's where self thinks and acts. Here in Alcoholics Anonymous, I found out that there's really only one world, but there's two concepts. There's my concept and there's God's concept. There's only one world, but I know what it means when it says that. That world out there is a beautiful world. It's full of good people. It's full of good things that are waiting for me to enjoy living, to have in my life. And I've had them for a lot of years. Believe me, I had. But I didn't know that when I come here. I didn't know what was the matter with me. I didn't know that after you go to so many meetings and you stay like you are, you better look into this and see what's wrong. I didn't know that when you come to Alcoholics Anonymous, like maybe you came, and then you're still harboring grudges and you're still holding thoughts about maybe an ex-wife or something that's killing you in the day you're in, and you keep living it, you keep giving it energy, you keep talking about it, you keep thinking about it. I did that. Then I had to learn how not to do that, because I don't know that these are the things that gives me an unmanageable life. I don't even know what an unmanageable life is, really. But I found out in Alcoholics Anonymous, after the program of recovery was there for me to see, to do, to have, to be, then I could see why in step one, when they say in there that my life's unmanageable, meaning drunk or sober, meaning forever, meaning after 42 years, my life is still unmanageable if I go to the same place I always used to go to, self, because that's already established. That's the power that kept me out in the bars in the world. That's the power that I know for sure that step two is trying to show me. Just open your mind up, Anderson. It says, quit arguing. Let's see if there's something other than you that can do something you can't do. This is important. These are steps. These are steps that I'll tell you, they can disappear so quickly. All you have to do is just get some success. Success meaning maybe you get a pocket full of money. Maybe you get a new girl or guy or whatever it is. Maybe a new car. Maybe you get thrilled by a vacation or something, go to Hawaii or something like that. Maybe you think that's beautiful, and it is beautiful. But how about if you lose it? How about when you get angry? How about when things happen and you get worried, you get depressed, you get resentful, you get hateful? How about that? Where did that car go? Where did that feel? I bought a brand new Lincoln. You know, I bought a brand new Mercury in 1954. It was 55 Merc, right off the showroom floor. And man, I had the first car in the shop. I worked there. I worked at the Lincoln Mercury dealer. As soon as I got the thing and I started driving down the street in a short while, you know what happens? I got to pay for that damn thing. It ain't so beautiful. I don't need it so badly either. How come? It's the way my mind functions. But see, that isn't something that's in the past. That's in my mind right now. In other words, what I brought here is still here. But I don't have to use it. I don't have to live with it. I don't have to walk down the street and go out in that world with it. I just don't. This is why in the steps, when they're talking about a spiritual awakening, having had a spiritual awakening, you bet I've had a spiritual awakening, and I keep having them all the time, too. But that's a relationship. That's a performance that I give that creates the world that I live in through God. That's there. It's real. It's real. It's going on right now. It's quite a privilege, whether you know it or not, for me to be right here, right now, to do God's will, to carry His message, to say His words, His works. That's why I listen to tapes, too. I listen to my own tapes. I don't know what's on them tapes, because it's a way of life. It's a growing, going thing all the time. It's like reading. How many times do you read the same thing and then get more out of the reading? It's the same words, same pages. Hell, I read that Sermon on the Mount for 28 years, and I still read it today even. But I read it then every day for 28 years because I could go farther into my life with a guarantee that good things are there, good things are happening. These things that I'm talking about in the step application, they're growing things. They're growing things that in the day I'm in, there's more to have all the time. Even though I've had many, many days in wonderful, perfect, lovely days, good days, there's still better things to have in the next day or the days that I'm in as I live these days. These are the way of life that starts, like even in page 83, when the bottom there, when they're talking about the promises, that, and that's only in step nine, but believe me, that just them few promises in there, there's so much more that can be had as far as promises, the good life, to intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle me, to be free of this here economic insecurity, all these things they're talking about, become a way of life for the day I'm in. and things I used to take for granted. I don't take these things for granted anymore. You don't think for 1 minute that I take your relationship with me for granted. I don't. It's the grace of God. God gives me, and he offers me a way of looking at people and having it in my life. I don't take people for granted. Even if I go in a restaurant, a waitress, or anything else like that, in a market, a gas station, anywhere, I don't take things for granted. There's a performance to do. There's a performance to have in my life today for my total life and all of my affairs. All of my affairs is what I do all day long, right here, right now. These are principles. This is what I've been taught and learned and experiencing from the step application. This isn't just going to meetings. This isn't just getting a sponsor. This isn't just reading. This is a living God. This is a living program. This is a daily function. This is what the steps are all about. How much of this now that you personally want to hear, want to do, want to know more, or anything else like that, I have no idea. But I'll tell you this, my life's important to me, and it's still important today. There's always more to go for. And this is why step 11, when I sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understood him, I'm praying for the knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. And here I got the power to carry it out, and here I am at this meeting right here under the grace of God. It certainly isn't under my grace. All I'm talking about in Alcoholics Anonymous is no more than the message that's already in print. It's already there and established for each and every one of us as alcoholics with alcoholism. You ought to wind us up with the questions.
The final questions, overview questions on anything, any of 12 steps or alcoholism in yourself, write them, we'll give them the answer.
First question. You said a conscious contact with God means now. You said you talk to God. You said you pray and you allow God to quiet you down with meditation. Can you express how he touches you personally and spiritually?
To be able to recognize or to identify or to see or to know that God's presence is here in my life, here meaning in me, is that it's a God consciousness now. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about when I say that, but what I mean by that is that I learned down in the early part of the steps that my life, as I live my life, I'm conscious, I use consciousness. I use me, in other words, in reference to everything I do. Now, I came in here with no God or no prayers, but I had to learn that too in Alcoholics Anonymous. But it doesn't mean that I have to be praying or anything else like that. What it's talking about there is that the principles in the steps, where it starts in step 2, that I had to have an open mind, and I had to believe that there's a power greater than me, and I had to quit looking at the world or arguing with it or debating it or stuff like that, to build a relationship with the God in the moment I'm in would be to practice his presence. His presence only means that I call upon God right now through praise or through request or through talking to him in all of my affairs means right here today, now. See, I don't have to get on my knees to do this. It's not a ritual or anything like that. The God consciousness is the power that's in me to do and to think and to act in the day I'm in by relating that life to God for that reason. Now, this might sound strange to somebody that doesn't do this. At first, I didn't even have a clue because I learned from another man. Because he even told me, he says, why don't you try my God? Whatever you got doesn't seem to be working. Well, I did. I actually tried to do what he told me to do in relationship to God, and I only did it for anger and hostility. I was very mean, mad all the time, see? But I expressed that at work with guys I worked with. I had more trouble at work than I had anywhere. So I had to do something. I knew it because it was getting real serious. Well, the only thing I did was allowed a talk. I talked to a power that belonged to him. He called it God. But when I did this, though, I was staying away from me. I wasn't talking to me. I wasn't the authority whenever I was talking to God. You see, I'm a power. And I don't know if you look at this way. I'm a power. And when I'm a power, I self-talk. I tell me everything about the world and everything that's in it. I tell me how things are, conditions are, people are, what I need, what I don't need. And I don't even know that's the relationship. I have a self-consciousness with me, and that's a relationship with me. That's the power of me. That's what kept me drunk out there. That's what made me do the things I did when I was living that world. It was me. Nobody else but me. And then when I come to Alcoholics Anonymous and they're talking the way they talk and they say what they say about principles, about steps, about a power, about a God, I don't want none of that around me. I don't want to even hear that stuff, see. But it came a point when I had to have something because I was doing no different than I ever done. I was no different. I was mean, mad, hungry, tired, every other reason. So this means exactly that. Right here, why can't I thank God now? Why do I have to wait till I get home or out of this building or something like that? Why can't I thank Him right now? I do thank Him right now. I praise Him for allowing me to be here, take care of me. I praise Him all the time this way. I walk and talk with a power I call God. He's the Lord of my life. He's in all of my affairs. But you see, you have to build this by doing it. I can't just tell you I do it, not do it, because it's not there then. But when it is there, it's because it belongs there. Because my thoughts aren't trapped with me. My thoughts aren't with my yesterdays, the fears, the anxieties, the resentments. You've got to look and recognize this. In the way I had to do it, I had to look at me in a day I was in. Right now. How many things are in your life? Like, here's what I had to do. Sit like you're sitting now. What am I thinking about? Who am I thinking about? What degree is it? How mad is it? How mean? How kind is it? What it is? I had to find out who I am. What's wrong with me? Because I come to Alcoholics Anonymous for this reason, and nobody wants to talk about this. It's not a question, I'm going to be a winner. That's what they used to tell me. They used to say, eventually you're going to be a winner. No way. Not when you act like I act, you don't become a winner. The relationship of God doing for me what I can't do for myself. What I told you, I read in page 25, the great fact is just this. That's the solution, the common solution we all have. What's the common solution? Yourself running your life, yourself going back to self all the time, yourself picking and choosing when and where you should act and how you should act. That's not the solution. That's the disease. To recognize this, though, personally, individually recognize this, so I don't get self-deceived, so I don't get dishonest with myself, so I don't take credit, or I don't do things in the day I'm in thinking I'm a pretty good guy now because I just helped somebody out. Man, I can't do that. I can't take credit. If I don't give God the credit, I don't have it, period. Because them guys, I used to, up in San Fernando, I used to walk in that place up there and then tell these guys, these buddies of mine and all that, how great I was that day. I picked up this Alky guy and I put him in a hotel and paid his bill for a week, put some money in his pocket for some food, and I go back to the place and I'm telling all these guys all about what I did. I was blowing my horn. You know what they said to me, Anderson? You know what you're going to have to do now? You're going to have to go out and do that same thing over again, but keep your mouth shut this time. The credit that you get, the pat on the back you're looking for, is the only thing you'll ever get. And I don't even know what that means, but I had to learn. I had to learn that this Heavenly Father, this Lord of my life, is through His grace, not my grace. I used to, you know, years ago, when I was out in the world drinking and running around, I was overseas even in the Navy, I was overseas a couple of years over there, and I'd sit in a bunk, I'd be in a bunk at nighttime, reliving, rethinking all the things I used to do when I rode bikes and fighting and the whole picture, I'd look at it, and I'd sweat it out, you know, and I'd think, man, I sure was lucky I got through that. I was lucky here, I was lucky there. I get out of the service, and 2 days out of the service, I hit a police cruiser head-on, went through the windshield, and I've got 133 stitches in my head. I had my whole head busted wide open on the sides, my ear cut off at the top and everything, and I said I was lucky. I was lucky. I was always referring to life as lucky. I get in Alcoholics Anonymous like this, and I find out that's God's nickname, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. It had nothing to do with luck. The Heavenly Father was protecting me, guiding me, strengthening me, taking care of me. Regardless of me, He still was doing it. And I said it was luck. Never once ever looking, even today, this day, to consider where I'm at today. It is certainly not through luck. It certainly is there because of the grace of God, the program of recovery. The real reason for me coming here in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I never knew this reason, I always referred to everything by troubles, by drunkenness, by losses, and everything else. And that's why I'm in that isn't why I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous.
Does step 10 only apply to situations where we offend or abuse others?
Step 10 is, like I said before now, in all steps, they're not there for the reason I thought they were there. And the reason why, I should have probably read it here, just to give an idea about this, and it's on the last page here, and it says, got the wrong page here, it says here, these little studies, this is the 12th step, this is the end of it. And it says, these little studies of AA's 12 steps now come to a close. We have been considering so many problems that it may appear that AA consists mainly of racking dilemmas and troubleshooting. To a certain extent, that is true. We have been talking about problems because we are problem people who have found a way up and out and who wish to share our knowledge of that way with all who can use it. For it is only by accepting and solving our problems that we can begin to get right with ourselves and with the world about us, and with Him who presides over us all. Understanding is a key to right principles and attitudes, and right action is a key to good living. Therefore, the joy of good living is in the theme of AA's 12 steps. We're problem people. I never knew I was a problem. I didn't know about that unmanageable life. I'm a problem person. I live by problems. Maybe you do too. You know what happens when I get rid of a problem? You know what follows it? Another problem, right behind it, just waiting to be there. And I can't recognize this in application. I can't identify it in the day I live in. I agree with you, and I know what you're going to say, and I understand, but I don't understand. I'm not even aware that I do the same thing. I'm a problem person. I live by problems. All I'm doing all the time is fixing problems, getting away from problems. The defects are there, and I'm going to do the same thing I've always done, and I don't even know that. So what's this all about? It's the same thing as I started out. It's a way of life. There's two ingredients. It's a way of life by a method that makes it possible to change the character that I am, and a power behind it, which is God, that makes it so it does. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous is all about.
Should we put ourselves on the 8-step list? Did you? If so, what was your 9th step amends to yourself?
Hey, listen, you know, I've been told, yeah, this is a good question, believe me it is. There's no way, see, that I can put me down there and forgive me or make a way so that I can be all right. There's got to be something there for me in a change of character to build this character so that I can put a bunch of people down and then make amends to them all. Not me. I have to do something different. I have to be the man I should be in the day I am according to the 12 steps and the will of God. It isn't up to me to forgive me or to look at me and think that I need help by me. There's no way. That just don't happen that way. This is serious business, what I'm talking about. Believe me, it is. It's funny. You know, it is funny. But it's not funny, ha-ha. It's funny, peculiar. Because I do the same thing we all do, because it's a mind function disease. It's a power that you and I have that we cannot stop by ourselves. We're goners, man. But we're not. The program of recovery is a program of recovery. But it's like I said all along today. If I don't build this character, live this character now, I'll never have it. Boy, that's a bummer. That's hard to accept. You got to hear this, what I'm saying, because I get lost out in that world out there. I get confused. I get going, and I forget all about this. I forget all about God, the character, application, principles, truths. Man, that stuff back there. I did it. I know it. I was there. But I don't know that this has to be a way of life. If I don't live this character now, I'm not that character. If I don't have God with me now, I'll never have him with me. That's a hard nut to swallow. If you don't think it's true, take a look from now on, tonight, this night, when you leave here. Where you go the rest of this day, till you go to bed tonight, and think in terms of how much left of this day was there that you went and looked at it and you found fault. From now till tonight you go to bed. See if there is, just try to recognize your own thinking, your own behavior, the way your mind goes, how quickly you'll get into something or you'll criticize something or judge somebody or want them to do different even, and they can't do it, but you want them to do it anyway. Be self-honest with yourself, to see self, so you'll at least identify the disease anyway. See if this isn't true. Do you walk on water? I don't walk on water. I'd like to, but I can't. But you see what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to live according to the will of God. Because in the steps, step 11, I just got through saying, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. Why can't I improve it right now? I better. Because that's where the relationship is right now. Try to hear this. It's real difficult to hear. Because I'm always thinking in terms of something being done, over with, past. I got past that. Boy, am I glad that's over with. No such thing. My life is a continuation. As long as I'm living, it's a continuation. It must grow spiritually. I must stay with a power that's greater than me. This is all cut and dried. It's all proven. It's all in print.
How do you keep from seeking praise when doing a good deed?
This again, the same. No, this is real. These are good. These are good questions. They're questions that really should be answered and can be answered because of what step seven says. Humility and humbleness now was something I never knew about. Humility and humbleness is the way of life where I become a giver, not a taker. But I give so that I have to give. Now, I have to give not because I'm forced into giving, but I give because God wants me to give. He wants to give me the world that I should have by thinking, acting the day I'm in the way I should. The way I should is no more than what the spiritual principles say, that I have to start serving man and God. Now, this, it talks in there now, and I read it when it was talking there about character building and spiritual values had to come first. That's this material satisfaction was not the final end and aim of life. Well, what that means is that I can help my fellow man by being somebody today that can help you, that can think in terms of your troubles or your needs. Before, I never could see your troubles and needs. I just judge you because you acted strange, not thinking in terms. Maybe you've got troubles. Maybe something happened to you. Maybe your mind is a little injured now. Why can't I be kind, compassionate? It helps me. I don't know if it helps you, because I'm here for me. I'm not here for you. So why can't I have this? This is what step seven is all about. This is the step I told you. Made a man out of me in my eyes and God's eyes, not your eyes. I don't need to have credit. Why would I even want credit when humility and humbleness says it's the exact opposite? That God gets the credit. When I give it to God, God rewards me for doing his will. This is what it's all about right now. Is carrying his message, doing his works. That's what step 11 says. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understood him. Praying only for the knowledge of his will for me and a power to carry that out. His will for me and a power to carry that out. That isn't about me. That's doing God's will. This is everything I'm saying now is in print. It's in principles. It's in truths. It teaches me, shows me how to act in the day I'm in so I can be the man I should be without even knowing what it is to make that man like that. I don't need to know. All I have to do is do it. This is why that sponsor told me. He said in the morning when you wake up, if you don't practice the program recovery, you don't have one. And I don't even know what that means. But I do today and I have for years. In other words, the character. When I woke up in the morning, if I'm the old character, I'm the old character, period. I don't want to be the old character. I want to be happy, joyous, and free. I do want to have everything God wants me to have in the day I'm in, but not by my terms.
I question whether or not I have truly seen the fatal nature of my condition because of my failure to keep any kind of consistency to doing this. Should I keep on asking for more strength and thoroughness, or should I stop, go back, and focus on step one?
Right, right. That answers the question. The only thing different I would say to anybody at all that's an alcoholic with alcoholism, at least identify the ABCs, what I call the ABCs, alcoholism, ego, and self. Identify it by acknowledging it, by the awareness, by seeing it, looking at it, hearing about it, to see what brought you here. Did the booze bring you here? Did the falling down drunk bring you here? Maybe you didn't even drink one-tenth of what I drank, but you could be an alcoholic with alcoholism just as well as I am, because the disease centers in the mind, not the body. So to think in terms that I have to do something before I get something, that's not true. What's true is application of the steps, starting in step one. The only reason I said the ABCs, so that I considered the ABCs, so that I know what the steps are for. I know why I'm here. I identified a lot of behavior, a lot of things that happened to me, the way I acted, where I wound up. And then I got into steps. Steps served a purpose for my life, because immediately I could admit I was powerless over alcohol. No quarrel there whatsoever. But my life was unmanageable. I didn't know what an unmanageable life was. I thought, take the booze away, go to a lot of meetings, you got a manageable life. No, you don't. You got something wrong with you. If you're an alcoholic with alcoholism, what is it? It's the disease. What's the disease? It's in your mind. What's in your mind? Self. Yesterday's. Selfishness. Self-centeredness. Everything is there from before. It's already established. You're not putting any more in there. It's already in there. It's fixed. It's tattooed. You can't erase it. It's an ism. These are all things that I talk about that's in print.
How does a selfish, self-centered, egotistical alcoholic with no self-esteem or self-worth get humble, find humility and a true sense of value without arrogance and vainglory?
There you go again. Same thing again now. Building a character. Never once ever using the old character. Not even other than 1 to 6 looking at the old character. You have to look at it to see it, to identify it. That's what the steps 1 to 6, what I was talking about. But the process or the method that's in application of steps treats the alcoholism, not the alcoholic, the alcoholism, the mind. This is a way of life. This is a change of character. The change of character now doesn't live the way I used to live, or the ones that I know anyway. So you see, there is something here, but it's only in the now. Because none of us, I know for sure, can look backwards and be happy today because it happened years ago. That doesn't work that way. The disease of alcoholism is a condition of the mind. Whenever self is there, it's there. And whenever self does whatever it wants to do, it has to do again what it did before. It has to reason it out. It has to be self-centered, selfishness. It has to do everything because it's a repeat performance. What's your past is your future, because you don't change. You just don't change. That's what this is about, what I'm talking about. How do you change? You change only in the moment you're in. You only change now. And the change now is possible because of what the steps are and the power there, because they're numbered in a logical order form to build a new character by living this new character. Living it today, now. And see, I never could put this together before because I was too quick. Life comes too fast. I answer to it too quick. I'm with self, and man, instantly I got an answer back. But you see, it says differently. It says I'm going to believe in something else now instead of what I do. This is all character building. This is all step application. This is all principles that guide me and direct me. I call them truths.
Define better for us the difference, as you see it, between understood and understand God as we understood him.
That was pretty clear to me in step two because of the fact that I never knew. First, I had to. The step says, I came to believe in a power that's greater than me to restore me to sanity. You see, I never knew, I never looked at, I never considered me a power in my life. I know what physical power means, or horsepower, or any other kind of power, but I don't know what they mean when they're talking the way they talk in step two. I came to believe in a power that's greater than me that can do something I can't do. So you see, the foundation or the beginning or whatever it is, I have to realize that this is something that I can't be a part of. And it gives me directions how not to be a part of this in my life today by principle. In other words, right now, My mind must be open. That's a requirement. Not for the step two. It's there. But it's for the character building. So the character I live with today, this day, after many years, doesn't make no difference. I must have an open mind. Because an open mind is a mind where occupied isn't occupied with self. It doesn't already establish preconceived ideas or opinion. I'm not opinionated. In other words, I can see something and it's there. I don't quarrel with it. I don't think it should be any other way. Leave it alone. I go in a world, amen, my mind slows down. I slow down. I'm not so quick to judge. I'm not so quick to answer to things. But only because of what's happening. My mind is opening up. The power itself is not there now. My mind is open. When my mind is closed, that means the power itself is there. There's no God will ever get in there. So you see, there is something here in application. Now, right now, starting like I said before, from this moment on, you go to bed. See how many times your mind slams shut. By identifying and looking at your own thinking, when you see something you quarrel with, something you want it different. See if your mind will accept what it is and just accept it for what it is and leave it alone. See if you can do that. These are important lessons I had to learn myself, because a closed mind, man, I go to a red light even. I sit at a red light, I think they painted the damn thing there. It never turns green. See? And I'm sitting there and I'm stewing, see? You know what that is? That's a closed mind. I can't adjust my thinking except the fact that I have to sit there a little longer than the last one or something like that. That's a closed mind. That's an argumentative mind. That's a debating mind. See if you can't recognize some of this what I'm talking about. At least identify it. If you want to do anything about it, I don't know. But at least become aware of what you're here for. Because it hasn't got anything to do with drinking. It's got everything to do with thinking.
Like you said a long time ago, we may have stopped drinking, we didn't stop thinking.
You bet, boy, you bet.
That's it for the questions. I was just curious, did we get the sign-in sheet back? Do you have that back?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get that sent out to everybody within, say, the next 2 weeks.
Mention the tapes again,
yeah,
too.
That's next on my list.
Okay.
I keep a list here. Anyway, you'll have the sign-in sheets within 2 weeks. So, also, tapes, Sylvie has taped the workshop. If anybody wants a copy of the tapes, please see her before we leave. As I said before, a group of us are going to dinner at Fresh Choice on Sunrise in Madison at 7:30. Everybody's invited if you want to be there. The 60-Minute Solution Group thanks you for being here and welcomes you to our group. We meet Sunday nights at Fair Oaks at the Presbyterian Church. It's meeting is from 7 to 8, and everybody's welcome. And to close the meeting, to put this thing on, everybody in the group was really involved with it. But two people that did a lot, they were kind of in charge of the hospitality room, hostess committee, let's say, were Julianne and Mary. I'd like to call them up to close the meeting.
Yeah, before you close, yeah. Oh, thank you. Before you close, I want to thank everybody for being here and allowing me to be here. This life that I have is always the same way as far as the grace of God, doing for me what I can't do for myself. So I appreciate the fact that you're all here and you allowed me to be here too.
Supplies downstairs before you go home.
Yeah, they're all put out on the table. So
thanks for coming.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's see. Jolynn, you want to lead us in the Lord's Prayer?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Keep coming back.
It works.
Now, one more thing I want to mention. I also want to thank Dean for helping us to get the grades fulfilled.
Right on, Dean.
Good job. Yeah, how about that?